Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
But I just want you listeners to know that I love my son. I'm very much looking forward to being a daddy and to get to meet him and my family getting to meet him, and I want to be part of his life, and I'm ready for this to be done, but I'll keep waiting until he comes back, so.
I want you to think about the night and tell me what happened.
I do not remember for sure.
Who's the private investigator?
Back then, we don't remember his name.
19-year-old Madeline Jones and her 8-month-old son William disappeared from their Mesa, Arizona home on June 15, 2017. The following day, Madeline's father called 911 to report that they were missing. Leading up to their disappearance, Madeline and her ex-husband Jacob had gone through a nasty divorce and custody battle. A witness has come forward claiming to have seen Madeline dye her hair and dress William as a girl shortly before disappearing. Have you ever come across a story that just keeps getting more and more crazy the more you dig into it? This is that kind of story. I'm Marissa, and this is episode 92 of The Vanished, the story of the disappearance of Madeline Jones and baby William. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Power and control are often the motives behind many crimes. When someone feels like they're losing that grip on the power and control in a relationship, they start to panic and often make poor decisions. When I started to examine all of the documents related to this case, I could see this struggle over and over. I could see Madeline's mom struggle with losing control over her daughter, which she was able to regain, and then Madeline struggling over losing full control over baby William once Jacob was granted joint custody. I wanted to mention that there have been a lot of wild accusations in this case. In an attempt to remain as transparent as possible, Jacob has made court documents and police reports available to the public for those of you who would like to examine them for yourselves. You can find all of those documents posted on Facebook in a group called Missing, Bring Baby William and Madeline Jones Home. Things weren't always so bad between Madeline and her ex-husband Jacob, and no one ever imagined that they would turn out this way with Madeline and William both missing. Divorce and custody proceedings often have a way of bringing out the ugly side of people. To fully understand what's happened here, you have to go back to the beginning, back to when Jacob and Maddie first met. They met when Jacob was serving as a missionary in the Mesa, Arizona mission. The two became engaged in March of 2015 and married later that year in August. Then, the two moved to Utah to attend Brigham Young University together. In early 2016, they announced that they were expecting and were very excited about becoming parents. After they finished the year at BYU, they moved to Montana, which is where Jacob is from, and had gotten a summer job. This is when the trouble really started. Two very important players in this story are Maddie's parents, Alex and Cassie Jones. Maddie was still covered under her parents' health insurance policy at the time. Her parents told her that she would only be covered if she were to have the baby in Arizona. Maddie and Jacob were concerned that if she were to have the baby prematurely, that the cost of his delivery may not be covered if this were to happen during their stay in Montana. So they decided to call the insurance company and ask about this. Seems pretty reasonable, doesn't it? The insurance company informed them that she would be covered anywhere she wanted to have the baby. When they got off the phone with the insurance company, Maddie then called her mom, Cassie, to tell her what the insurance company had said. This really upset Cassie. She felt betrayed by Jacob because he had called their health insurance company and accused him of a HIPAA violation. She insisted that Maddie come back to Arizona immediately. Maddie decided that she wanted to go to Arizona, which caused an argument with Jacob over Cassie's involvement in their marriage. During this argument, Cassie called the police in Montana and asked them to do a welfare check on her daughter. Law enforcement officials spoke to Maddie on the phone and in person. Both times, she stated that she was fine and that she just wanted to go to Arizona. Cassie claims that Jacob's family owns the town and the police, which is just the beginning of the wild claims coming from her. Some of these claims would lead to Cassie being investigated by the Mesa police for falsely reporting crimes. I spoke with Jacob for this episode, and he told me a little bit more about the relationship dynamic between Maddie and her parents.
I'd say her relationship is that she just seeks to please her parents, and because her parents are so, like, to be so involved and in control of the situation, that often leads to things she may not necessarily want to do, but because it's what her parents want, then she goes along with it so she doesn't make them upset. So
I asked Jacob when he started to see signs of the issues with her parents.
It took a long time. It definitely didn't come out right away. But it degraded over time for sure. So we got married and then we lived states away from our family, and that helped a bunch of having our own autonomy as a couple and such, and trying to get her away from that and into a space where she could be herself. But her mom was still intervening every day. So
he also told me about how their short period of time together in Montana came to an end.
We had planned to work for the summer in Montana. I got our house all set up, and my job was here, and she came here, and she was here for 3 days before her mom convinced her that she wanted to live in Arizona, and her mom convinced her that it was a danger to live in Montana because it was rural, and that her insurance would only cover if she delivered in Arizona. And so we called her insurance company and found out the coverage, and found out she was covered anywhere because she was 6 months along, 5-6 months along at the time. And so, yep, she was only in Montana for 3 days and then headed back home. My job was still here, so I stayed in Montana and she went to Arizona.
Maddie moved back to Arizona on May 10th, 2016, and on June 10th, she filed for divorce. Later that month, the two families arranged to meet with a bishop in Mesa to discuss how they could work together to co-parent the baby. Jacob was served with divorce papers when he got off the plane, and Maddie and her parents never showed up for the meeting with the bishop. In August of that year, Maddie amended her divorce petition to include allegations that Jacob had sexually abused her during their marriage. The court would later find these allegations to be unfounded and that she had attempted to mislead the court. William was born on September 22, 2016. No one contacted Jacob to let him know that his son was born, but he knew when William was due, so he was able to petition the court for a paternity test. When Maddie took William for the DNA test, part of the process is to take a picture of the baby. Maddie refused to let them take his picture because she didn't want Jacob to see him. She was informed that this was not optional. This picture was the first time that Jacob ever saw his son. Jacob didn't get a chance to meet his son until December 6, 2016. William was already several months old at this point. He was allowed to meet him in the cafeteria of the Mesa courthouse. Jacob had traveled with his mother, Andrea, who was looking forward to seeing her grandson for the first time. Right before they had a chance to visit with William, Jacob's mom, Andrea, was served with an order of protection.
This order of protection was dropped when Jacob's mother challenged it in court, but it had a major effect on the events of December 6th when Jacob met William for the first time. Maddie's father, Alex, claimed that the court had appointed him to supervise the visit. This was a lie, which later led the court to order that Alex would never be allowed to be present during a custody exchange. After Jacob was allowed to briefly meet his son for the first time in a busy courthouse cafeteria, Maddie's family took William to an emergency room claiming that Jacob had drugged him. They claimed that William was lethargic, but the hospital staff noted that the baby was, in fact, alert. They said that during Jacob's visit with William, he had changed his socks, and after that, William's feet had a strong chemical smell and appeared irritated. They took blood and urine samples to test the baby for any substances, but found nothing. Maddie's mom, Cassie, told the hospital staff that Jacob had kidnapped William at birth, causing the hospital to go on lockdown. When questioned about this, Cassie later stated that the hospital staff must have written this down wrong in their notes. 2 days after this incident, Maddie and her father took William to his pediatrician, and now they added that Jacob had molested William at the visit in the courthouse cafeteria. These claims were investigated by the police and the court, who found that there was no evidence to support these accusations. They actually started investigating the Jones family for making false accusations of child abuse.
Yep, they were doing that the whole time he was born, since he was born, just trying to come up with anything to be able to keep me away, and they were successful for months. So I got to meet him first December 6th, briefly, and that's when that set me up to be when they claimed that I abused him, my first time ever meeting him. One thing after another, trying to set me up to not be able to have time with him. And so hoping I would give up and hoping I would not be in his life. And I wanted very much to be a part of his life. So
fast forward to June of 2017. This is when the divorce and custody issues were finally settled by the court. I encourage you to go check out their divorce decree because it goes through all of the accusations one by one and addresses them individually. The only thing that they faulted Jacob for was taking Maddie's phone for a few minutes back when they had that argument over her mother's control over their marriage right before she moved back to Arizona. They found no evidence to support any of the other accusations. The court also found that Maddie had committed custodial interference and that she and her family were being investigated by the police. Since baby William didn't really know his father at this point, the court decided to give him 2 weeks of visits with William for 4 hours a day to give them a chance to form a relationship.
So the judge gave her two options. The first option was that my mom could be the supervisor. Yeah, for the first 2 weeks, every day I'd have 4 hours of parenting time. And my mom could be the supervisor, or it could be held at a supervision center. And if it was the supervision center, then she was required to pay all of the costs of that. And so she chose the supervision center. And so for the first 2 weeks, that was supposed to be where I was at. And then after that, I had 24 hours every other day, no supervision.
Having supervision not only protected William, but also protected Jacob from the nonstop accusations from the Jones family.
I think also to protect myself, because so many crazy allegations have been made that having a supervisor not only is there for William, but also to protect myself as well against their claims, because they just try to come up with anything anytime I got time with him.
These parenting visits were very short-lived.
I was awarded 50% joint custody, and that ruling came out on June 9th, and my parenting time was supposed to start June 14th. And so June 14th, I had parenting time with my son, and then June 15th, parenting time again in the morning, and my mom got to meet him for the first time. That evening is when she took off.
Maddie claimed that William still needed to be breastfed every 2 hours so that they couldn't do four-hour-long visits. They would have to be broken up into two-hour blocks of time. She claimed that she couldn't provide breast milk for the baby because he wouldn't take a bottle. The court temporarily granted her request until a pediatrician could be consulted. While Jacob was visiting with William on the morning of the 15th, he fed him a bottle of formula, which seems to have set Maddie and her family off. He and his mother took a video of William drinking this bottle to prove to the doctor, the court, and Maddie that William could, in fact, take a bottle.
So the judge ordered that we have weekly communication regarding our son when the final divorce decree came out and the parenting time order on June 9th. Because before then, she wouldn't have any communication with me at all. My first time getting to be a parent with him really is when he's 9 months old, and she was supposed to start emailing me and giving me updates and stuff, and she doesn't follow that order. So I get my first time with him, and we give him the bottle, and we show that he can take formula just fine, and he's not choking or coughing up anything. And I just sent her that video, and I said, good news, like, he's able to take a bottle. Fine, and this is the nipple that he used and the formula that he that sat well with him. And I'm happy to use breast milk if you want to provide that to me. And communication has been very, very difficult. And I actually, before my parenting time started, I emailed her a list of questions about his care needs, like what type of pacifier does he like, what type of formula or baby food is his favorite, and when does he nap, like what are favorite toys and such, just to kind of get a feel for his routine and understand what his likes were. She didn't respond to that email, so I just went into parenting time and had to figure it out. First day, I'm almost 100% sure that he came in very hungry because he was pretty sad the whole time, and then once I fed him banana baby food, he was the happiest kid around, so...
Jacob went back to the supervision center for his second two-hour block of time with William that day. Maddie's mom, Cassie, called the supervision center to let them know that she wouldn't be bringing William that afternoon because he was sick. Cassie took William to his pediatrician and told the doctor that William had thrown up 5 times, but had stopped about 30 minutes before the appointment. During a court-ordered deposition after Maddie and William disappeared, Cassie changed her story and claimed that William had thrown up hundreds of times that day.
I was supposed to be in, I can't remember the time, at the pediatrician's office, and Maddie tried repeatedly to get him to stop throwing up, and he was crying the whole time. Just hundreds of times of throwing up and dry heaves. And he continued to throw up. And then I took him to the pediatrician's office.
So on this day that Jacob fed William a bottle of formula, and then Maddie's mom took William to the pediatrician claiming that he was sick, Maddie and William disappeared. Maddie's parents claim that around 5:30 p.m. on the 15th, Maddie left with William to meet with an attorney and then go on a date. That was the last time that they supposedly saw their daughter. One interesting thing to note is that Maddie didn't take a vehicle, and her family doesn't claim that they drove her to see this attorney, and they can't remember the attorney's name. Jacob has learned some very important information about that day.
We have their bank records, and they withdrew thousands of dollars the day that she went missing. And then a witness that was in their home at the time said that she helped dye her hair from blonde to brown and that William was dressed as a girl.
The following day, which was June 16th, Jacob arrived at the supervision center, but no one ever showed up with William. An employee at the supervision center contacted Maddie's family, and they said that William was sick and wouldn't be in that morning. Jacob showed up again for his 1:15 p.m. visit, and again, they reached out to Maddie's family. This time, Cassie claimed that she couldn't talk and hung up. While Jacob was leaving the supervision center, he received a call from the police informing him that Maddie and William had just been reported missing. Maddie's father, Alex, had called 911 from an attorney's office at 12:32 p.m. the day after they claimed the two disappeared.
Thank the police. Are you law enforcement, an alarm company, or do you have an emergency? No, neither of those.
How can I help you today?
I'm not sure who to talk to or what to do. I'm just really worried. We haven't seen or heard from my daughter since yesterday evening about 5:30 with her son. And we haven't heard from them. We're supposed to be in contact with them and haven't been able to get a hold of them or find out anyone that knows where they are. And that her stuff is at the house still, like her wallet and her phone, and just very concerned and trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do.
And how old's your daughter?
She is 19, almost 20, or around 20. Yeah, almost 20.
Okay. Any mental or physical disabilities?
No.
Any threats to hurt herself or anybody else?
No.
Okay. And does she live there alone, or who does she live with?
No, she lives with my wife and I and her siblings and her grandmother.
Okay, and so she left last night around 5:30. Did she leave in a vehicle, or?
I have no idea. She had said that she was going, last thing when saw her, she was going out the door, but we don't know how she left. Vehicles were all there when we, this morning when we found out that she didn't come back. She said she was going over to speak to an attorney, and then she was going to go to visit a friend that night, and she's got a lot of friends, so everybody was in bed before she came back, and then this morning she wasn't here when we went to look for her.
Was there a confrontation when she left?
No confrontation. We don't know if she was home at all or not the rest of the evening.
And she left with her son, you said? Or daughter?
Yes, with her son. Yes.
How's the child?
He's just under one. He was born in September of last year.
Okay, so she doesn't have a vehicle? You know who was picking her up, or?
No idea.
And you said she left her wallet and her cell?
We found it sometime this morning, I don't remember when, in her room. And she has been under a lot of stress, though.
Any custody issues?
Yeah, there are custody issues. Currently, a custody.
I'm sorry?
Currently, a custody going on in the courts. That's the cause of the stress that she's been under.
She told you she was going to a lawyer and then to some friends?
Yeah.
And you know the lawyer's name?
I don't remember his last name. I'd have to look it up. It's not her normal lawyer. It was one for an appellate.
Did you check with them to see if she was with them?
We called this morning and did not, and they said that they didn't see her.
Okay. Is there alcohol issues?
No.
Does she normally have a certain person that picks her up to give her rides places, or?
No one in particular that I know of.
So you don't know how she was getting to the lawyers?
No, I don't. I assumed that she was going to be driving, but I don't know.
But her vehicle's there, yeah, so she didn't leave in her vehicle, correct?
Well, it would have been one of my cars. I assume she would have been driving one of my cars, but I didn't have any cars missing.
I will put a call in for an officer to go out to your house and, I guess, talk to your wife since she's there. Anywhere from just a few minutes up to an hour.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, sir. Bye now.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
In the days following the disappearance of Maddie and William, Cassie and Alex Jones went on the local news channel 3TV with their plea for information.
Just that we love her and we want to know that she's...
Just to call us.
Okay and alive, and that William's okay and alive.
Just to call us because we're such a close-knit family. I would think that she would at least call us, you know? And say that she's okay.
It's interesting. You can find this clip online, and if you watch it, you'll notice that Cassie appears hysterical, but there are never any actual tears. Not that I could see, anyway. Several days after the disappearance of Maddie and William, Cassie and Alex Jones hired a criminal defense attorney. And if things weren't strange enough in this case, Cassie started claiming that Maddie was dead in her online posts. In one such post, she wrote, "I know the Gokiners have Maddie and William hidden out somewhere, and we know that she has passed away. Jake is moving to the Dominican Republic in a month. You are all just sick, sick, sick people. That is what everyone is saying about you." Someone replied, "You know they have Maddie and that she's dead?" Cassie responded to that comment with, "We just know she is gone. We have all prayed about it. We feel like William is still alive somewhere being abused by that sick, sick, sick family, but that Maddie is with her heavenly father now." Jacob petitioned the court for temporary full custody of William, and that was granted on June 29th. A warrant was issued for law enforcement to take William into custody if he were to be found. The judge did offer leniency to Maddie and her parents if William were to be returned by July 11th, which obviously didn't happen. On July 5th, a search warrant was executed at the home of Alex and Cassie Jones. Several electronic devices were seized that day. Unfortunately, the data from the day that Maddie and William disappeared mysteriously had been cleaned off of those devices. Alex Jones works in IT but claims that he did not wipe the data off of their devices. Cassie and Alex Jones stopped cooperating with the police shortly after Maddie and William disappeared. They were ordered by the court to attend depositions. You heard a clip from Cassie's deposition earlier when she was discussing William throwing up. Throughout these depositions, neither Alex nor Cassie seemed to be able to remember much. Alex was questioned about what he did the night that they disappeared. He spoke about going to a Goodwill with his other daughter, Becca, and a family friend, Kelsey.
All right, what did you do that evening?
After I woke up and was a little bit rested, I went to a Goodwill and kind of wandered around for a few minutes.
Okay. Did you go by yourself?
That I don't believe so. I think I went with Becca and Kelsey that night.
Okay. You think so?
Pretty sure. Again, it's been a while.
sure you've gone over this date quite a few times.
I have, but that doesn't mean that I can be any more sure about something that I wasn't meaning to remember.
So, what time did you leave to go to Goodwill?
Again, it would be total guesswork, so I'm not sure.
Was the sun down?
I don't think it was completely dark, but I don't remember what time it was.
Okay. And you went with Becca and Kelsey?
Mm-hmm.
Who drove?
Well, I know I drove.
Okay. And which car did you take?
I took my car.
Which car is that?
That's the Honda.
All right. And did you drive Kelsey and Becca with you?
I can't remember.
Okay. Which Goodwill did you go to?
I don't remember.
Where did you drive?
Well, there are about 5 Goodwills that are within close driving distance of our house.
Do you go to these often?
Yes.
Okay. Do you do this with Kelsey and Becca often?
I have done it with them a fair bit, yes.
Okay. Did the three of you leave together at the same time?
I don't remember.
I want you to think about the night and tell me what happened.
I do not remember for sure.
Okay. You don't know if you drove with them or without them?
I do not know.
And you don't remember where you went?
I remember I went to Goodwill.
Which
I don't
Goodwill?
Remember which Goodwill.
Okay. Did you buy anything?
They differ only in the way that they are laid out.
Did you buy anything?
I can't remember if that was the night that I bought anything or not. So, because I go often.
Okay. What did you do after that?
Went home.
All right. When you came out of your house after dinner to go to Goodwill, did you notice that all of the cars were there?
I didn't. No, I didn't pay attention.
Okay. So, let's see. It's now got to be probably 7:30, I'm guessing. Is that about right?
I don't know, so I'm not going to assent to a guess time.
I need you to help put together that night. So your wife has said dinner was about 5:30 and Madeline left about 5:30. Is that, and you told the police that Madeline left about 5:30. So can we assume that that's accurate given that you said it?
We can assume that that's the best knowledge I had at the time, yes.
All right, and that would have been the morning after, so it's probably pretty accurate. Then your wife has stated she did dinner. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
All right. Sometime after that, you left.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be 6:30, 7 o'clock, or all the way up to probably 8 o'clock, right?
Probably sometime in there, yes.
Okay. After you go to Goodwill, then what do you do?
I came home.
So you drive back from Goodwill. Are you with Kelsey and Becca, or do they go somewhere else?
Again, I don't know.
Try to remember and tell me what you remember.
I think everyone came back, but I'm
You think
sure.
You drove with them, and you think you all came back together?
I don't recall if we drove together or not, but I think we all came back to the house, so I don't know.
Why would you have taken separate cars?
Again, I don't know if we did or did not. I can't recall.
But what, you all were going to the same place, is that correct?
I believe so.
So why would you have taken separate cars?
I don't know.
So you think you take one car?
I don't think either way. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So you get home. It's 8 o'clock or so. Is that what you said? About 8 o'clock?
That's what you said. I don't remember the exact time.
Do you think it was about that time?
I'm not sure.
All right.
I just remember that I came home and went to bed because I was wiped out again at that point.
This is Cassie's take on that evening.
My husband and had woken up Becca and Kelsey and had asked them if they'd wanted to go thrift shopping. And it was sometime during dinner that he started waking everybody up. And some people came and ate. I'm not sure who ate. But
So Kelsey, Becca, and your husband, Roland, went thrift shopping that evening?
Yes.
Okay. When did they leave?
I have no idea.
Before or after dinner?
It could have been during, it could have been after. I don't I don't remember.
Okay, so it was after 6:30.
It could have been 6:20. It could have been 6:15. I don't know the exact times.
All right. What car did they take thrift shopping?
I know they took a couple of cars.
They took two cars.
Yeah, because I think Kelsey and Becca left first.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I've not been able, they can't remember either. And then
where did they
my
go?
Husband was on the toilet because he wasn't feeling well.
Okay.
They went to Goodwill.
They went to Goodwill. All right. So Kelsey and Becca took one car.
Yes.
Which one?
I don't know.
Does Kelsey have her own car?
Yes.
Would she have driven her own car?
I don't know. It just depended on the day.
All right. And then your husband was going to go meet them there to yes. shop with them.
Yes.
And you think he left somewhere between 6:30 and 7?
No, it could have been 6:15. It could have been 6:30. It could have been 6:45. I have no clue.
Okay. Sometime between 6 and 7.
Sometime between 6 and 7.
Okay. And nobody notices that there's not a car gone.
Well, when he went out, the car, one of the cars was gone. And he didn't know if they had already left or if they, we've tried to replay this oh a million times. We didn't know it. I said, did you know that Becca and Kelsey hadn't already left? I'm like, they were texting me. I didn't know if they were already there or not. It said, we'll meet you down there. And that, you know, we didn't know who had taken what car or what had happened. We didn't know.
So after Goodwill, where did everyone go?
I think they went to a couple Goodwills.
Okay. And did they all come back together?
No.
Okay. What happened? They go to a couple Goodwills, then what?
I think they went to the soda shop. I can't remember.
All three of them together?
No, I think it was just Kelsey and Becca, but I can't remember if they went to the soda shop. It could have been Fluffit. I don't know where they went.
Cassie also posted on Facebook about raising money for a private investigator. She can't remember much about the private investigator that she supposedly hired.
You posted on Facebook that you were raising money in order to hire a private investigator to help find Madeline. Do you recall that?
I was not raising money, no. But there have been multiple friends that are raising money. That's correct.
All right. And you posted on Facebook that, please help. You said, there is no update on Maddie and William. Our hearts are just aching. We cannot eat or sleep. We've hired an amazing private investigator. He already has several leads. Please help. Every penny of our money goes to the numerous attorneys we've had to hire. If you do not want to donate through UCARES, people have been dropping off cash and checks at our home. If only 150 of our friends donated $20, we'd be halfway to reaching our goal. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Who's the private investigator?
Back then, we don't remember his name. We've talked to over a dozen private investigators, and the one that we had tried to hire at that time, what's the date on that?
June 21.
Yeah. So that one is the one that we tried to hire, and we've tried to track him down. And the police took all of his information from our home.
Did you pay a private investigator?
We paid a private investigator in cash as a retainer, to start a case. That is correct.
Okay. All right. How much did you pay them?
No idea.
Roughly?
I don't even remember.
$10,000?
No, it was only a few hundred dollars because he was just trying to look at things and see if he would take the case, and he was going to try to track down some information. That was it.
Okay. How did you find this person?
It was all word of mouth.
All right. Okay. Where did you meet this person?
He came to our home.
Okay. What did he tell you about himself?
He was a former FBI agent. He'd been doing this. He'd been retired for 12 years.
Okay. What did he look like?
We saw four or five different private investigators.
But this is the only one you hired. Is that correct?
No.
You hired several?
We've tried to hire several.
How many have you given money to?
And I don't even remember if we gave him money or not at this point. I mean, I remember offering him money, and I don't remember, I'm not really clear if he took it or not. So
okay, well, you said previously that you gave him a few hundred dollars.
Yes, but I'm not thinking about it, I don't remember him actually taking it. It might have still been on the table.
Okay.
So I don't remember for sure.
So let me just be very, very, very clear. Did you hire a private investigator?
We signed a contract with him.
Who?
I don't remember who it was. He didn't give us a copy of it.
You signed a contract. When?
I have no idea. We've tried to track it down. We've tried to retrace our steps. We, all of our notes and everything from that day. And we've talked to several and private investigators in our home.
Okay. Was it prior to June 21st?
I have no idea.
Well, you posted this on June 21st and said, every penny of our money goes to numerous attorneys we've had to hire.
That's correct.
We have hired an amazing private investigator. He already has several leads. Please help. That is what you posted on June 21st.
Then I guess it was before that. I don't know the exact dates.
10 days after the depositions, Cassie posted on Facebook offering Williams baby items like his stroller, car seat, and pack and play. Many have found this to be odd, like she isn't expecting her daughter and William to come back. On August 19th, Jacob's family held an event to get help handing out and hanging missing persons flyers. After that event, Cassie Jones drove around and had her daughter get out and tear down those missing persons flyers that had just been put up. They were caught on camera doing this. Cassie claims that hanging flyers is against her homeowners association rules, but these flyers were not posted in her neighborhood. They were posted in busy areas of town. Just a couple weeks ago, on September 8th, Cassie's mom was also deposed. She lives with the Jones family as well. Cassie caused quite a scene before and during the deposition because she didn't want any witnesses in there besides herself. They granted her request, but they told her she wasn't allowed in either. This made her very angry. There were several people in the waiting area who witnessed Cassie have a meltdown for the next 2 hours. At one point, she tried to barge into the deposition, but the receptionist blocked her. She then called 911 to report that her mother was being held against her will. As I mentioned, the Mesa Police Department is investigating Maddie and her parents. They recently stated that they're preparing to turn their findings over to the Maricopa County District Attorney's Office for them to decide if they're going to press any charges.
The police, who have been investigating this the whole time, have just turned the report over to the district attorney. And so hopefully, and they're recommending charges be pressed. And so hopefully something comes soon against her parents, because I think if something happens to them, her financial support goes out, then I think very soon she'd surface again. So.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop, with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished.
There's one other incident that I would like to tell you guys about. It doesn't directly relate to the disappearance of William and Maddie, but it does provide a little bit of background on the family dynamics in that household. You can find a couple police reports online that are from different domestic disputes that took place at the Jones household. One of these incidents took place in June of 2015. This was just a couple months before Jacob and Maddie got married. The police were called to the home because of a family fight. Cassie had invited a 20-year-old man to come stay with the family to possibly court her 14-year-old daughter. The 14-year-old daughter wanted to set some boundaries for this visit. She didn't feel comfortable being alone with this man, and she didn't want to be forced with threats from Cassie to hug him. Cassie threatened to make the 14-year-old pay for the man's plane ticket and give him $300 if they were to cancel his trip, just because she was refusing to be nice. The report states that Cassie was throwing phones, drinks, and hitting people. She then started threatening to destroy Maddie's wedding dress with a pair of scissors. Cassie did end up pleading guilty to disorderly conduct for this incident. I asked Jacob what he thought was behind Cassie's behavior.
I think a large part of it is mental illness, honestly. I'm not qualified to diagnose, but given the extreme behaviors and such, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not sure what she thinks or how to even tell where she's coming from on her behavior, but yeah, she's just convinced Maddie and her followers that I am the root of all evil. So,
in one of the other police reports from another incident at the Jones home, Alex did tell the police that Cassie is bipolar, but we don't know for sure if that's true or if it's just speculation. Where could Maddie and William be? There have been no credible sightings of them since they disappeared. Jacob told me what he thinks.
I do think that she's closer to her family than further, just because her mom has to be in control and her mom has to be a part of things. And so My best guess is that she's with a family friend or something who's wholeheartedly team Maddie. Or we've also tossed up the idea of like potentially an underground network that helps hide away women and such. Anything's possible. We've the family in some other states and stuff that we've had the police check out and interview, but nothing's come of anything yet. So
there's an event coming up in just a couple days for William's first birthday.
One thing about his birthday coming up, we're having a big candlelit vigil in honor of him. And that's going to be in Mesa at Chaparral Park at 7:30 on the 22nd. And we're going to do a big blue balloon launch. We're going to be tying ribbons and passing out posters, and hopefully the news is going to be there, so that's our next step in our efforts to locate him and get the word out. So
what happened to Maddie and William on June 15th, 2017? Well, we know that a large amount of money was taken out of the bank, and we also know that a witness saw Maddie dye her hair brown and leave with William dressed as a girl. Everything that Cassie and Alex have said, I'm not putting much stock into it. Is someone helping to hide William and Maddie? Could they have left the country? Or could they be right under our noses somewhere close to her parents? If you have any information regarding the whereabouts of Maddie or William, there's an anonymous tip line and the number is 1-800-479-9262. You can reach the Mesa Police Department at 480-644-2211. Again, I want to encourage everyone to go check out the group called Missing, Bring Baby William and Madeline Jones Home. Not only can you check out every document that I referenced in this episode, but there's even more information from people who have come forward with screenshots of communications that they've had with Cassie. Many of these communications are bizarre and troubling. I made the decision not to include those in this episode because I wanted to stick to what was most relevant to the disappearance of Maddie and William. But you can get lost in that group reading through everything. Again, it's called Missing, Bring Baby William and Madeline Jones Home. That brings us to the end of episode 92. I'd like to thank Jacob for taking the time to speak with me for this episode. If you have a missing loved one that you would like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, I have a Facebook page and a group. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and on Instagram as thevanishedpodcast. Join me next time for the story of a missing teen from Missouri. Thanks for listening.
I just think it's crazy, the double standard, because if the situation were reversed and I had left with the baby, there would be so much more coverage, and it would definitely be reported as a kidnapping. Right now, they're just treating it as a custodial issue, unfortunately, so... You don't know, like, until you're in it, like, how severe it is and how many people it affects, and like I've seen missing people posters my whole life at like Walmart or whatever, and I never gave them a second thought. But now, like, it's a big deal to look at those and to be mindful of what's going on around me, I didn't know that before, and I didn't have that mindset before because I wasn't involved in this. So.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.